What's going on, Sha?
Not much. As you know, as we both are learning together, I just got these two pillows that are supposed to help you if you're sitting a lot.
Okay.
Or if you need to make something comfortable. I'm not entirely sure what they were supposed to do, actually, but I got them off of a targeted ad. So, you know, what are you going to do?
Yeah, you don't know if they got
you
yet.
One day you're going to be half asleep, and next thing you know, you've dropped, you know, $75 on a damn pillow, and you don't know how it happened. I also ordered these little scrapey things that you have that to help you get lint and cat fur. Well, I say cat. They said pet, but I said cat. Pet fur and all that dander and all that stuff off of your furniture, because my cat has decided that our chair now is for sitting and not just for destroying with her claws.
Okay. Progress.
And I'm like, how are you going to scratch up the whole chair and then decide, well, I'll also just spread myself in the one spot that you even like about the chair. It's upsetting. It's upsetting because I love this chair and I got the chair. And then, I don't know, 4 months later, we got the cat and she's been fucking it up ever since. I barely had a chance to enjoy this chair. And it's a chair that everybody has, apparently, because I got it from IKEA. And it's a chair with a matching ottoman.
Okay.
And when I first saw it come up, it's like yellow. And it came up and I went, and I was like, I have to have that chair and ottoman. And I think everyone did that. And I guess everybody else just has nicer cats that don't destroy their chairs. But my shit looks wild. And everybody else I'm seeing in Instagram, they all have these pristine chairs.
Yeah, I mean, you know, they don't got cats. They don't got kids.
They got cats. I don't know what they're drugging their cats with, but like, I was looking at apartment listings today.
Right.
So I'm looking at apartment listings and there's one where, you know, this guy's taking a picture of his one bedroom and he still has all his stuff in it or whatever. And I'm like, oh, he's got nice stuff. I got a lot of vinyl. And then I click to the next picture and there's the chair with the ottoman with like a little pillow and a little throw on it, and I was like, oh, I guess he ain't got no cats, because that shit looks brand new.
Right.
But I've been on a tear. I ordered these pillows to help me with the sitting.
Okay.
Because I've just been sitting on a picnic bench for a year and my body's like, bitch, and I'm like, you're right. So I'm trying to fix that. I'm trying to get the thing to scrape the fur off of everything, since it's just me and the cat and will be for the next few months.
Where'd the roommate go?
Oh, did I get something else? Oh, I ordered a mattress.
Okay.
And a bed frame, but from two different places. So I don't know which one's coming first.
Oh.
Or even when they're coming. So I'm just sleeping on my shitty mattress as I have been, just in the hopes that one day something will show up.
I'm rooting for you, Sha. I don't know what inspired this whole home makeover all at once.
I know. I'm nesting like a motherfucker. In the spring, everybody else is like, we're going to hit the streets. And I'm like, I'm going to get a tapestry to go behind my new bed.
Yeah, like you doubling down at the wrong time. Everybody did that, but like that was at the start of the quarantine. Like you were a year off.
No, I think I just was already comfy then.
Oh, y'all doing this now? I've been doing this for years.
Yeah, it was just time for me. And so it happens to be a year off, and so be it. But that also should give all the companies a chance to adjust.
Okay.
Right? They should have figured out how to get things to people.
Yeah, that's true. You got
they haven't. They have not figured out how to get things to people. They are still fucking up. But I now have reserves of patience yeah. that I would not have had a year ago when I thought we all were going to die.
Yeah.
So I was like, I need this stuff immediately because I can die at any moment. Now I'm like, I've had the shot. I wear two masks. I'm probably not going to die if I go get this Snapple. Can I get a new bed, please? You know, it's like I'm giving myself a cookie after a year of making it on what little rations I had.
Right, right. Hey, man, I think you have the right approach overall, Shy, I say. I would say lean in, embrace it, continue to nest in every way possible. Because you're going to get the fly shit. Everybody that nested last April, they didn't get what they wanted. They got the best of what was there. Like, I need a new mattress because I'm going to be home more and I'm going to be sleeping. I'm getting these weird dreams. And, you know, everybody went to order the mattress. But, you know, the mattress they want wasn't there. So they got, like, the next best thing. You just picking out the one you want now, you know? Like the toilet paper thing, you know? I'm a two-ply guy. Two-ply wasn't even out, you know, for months. So you just took what was there. You know, yeah, this might, you know, scrape my ass a little bit. But it's toilet paper. We got no choice. You know, now we back. We two-plying all day, you know? So I think you made the right move. You waited out. You know, you showed patience. And now that long-term investment of you and the pillow for the seat and the mattress, those are 10-year decisions, depending on who you are. You know?
Yeah, that's true.
And now you good. You Gucci.
I hope so.
I like it, Sha. I'm impressed.
I hope that's the case. But it was time. It's time. It's time in my life to do these kinds of things anyway. It just so happens to be during a pandemic.
Why not? I think I'm gonna do the new mattress soon too. I think it's that time. I'm gonna make that happen. Yeah. You know,
because I'm definitely whatever this is I'm sleeping on now, it is not. It is not good. It's not. It's real bad. And so, and I've been trying to fix it for years. Just, I don't know, put a mattress pad on it. Nah. Not thick enough. Put a huge 3-inch thick slab of foam on it. Now you feel like you're drowning. Yeah. Well, I don't know what else to do.
Yo, I sold furniture for 5-6 years. And the one thing that like I became really adamant about is always having a dope mattress. Like, it made too much sense to me. The math was right. I was like, even if I'm, like, some workaholic type and I don't sleep a lot, I'm still sleeping 6 hours, let's say.
Right.
That's still a quarter of your life. You know, like, I spent way too much on sneakers, you know, like, that don't do nearly as much for my feet as that mattress does for my back. You know, they look cool, but my feet still hurt when I wear fours. Like, that shit is 1989 technology. But because the silhouette looked nice, I'm still wearing them. You know what I mean? But I could, and then over and over again, like up until like my mid-20s, I don't even know where my mattresses came from, Sha. Like, I couldn't tell you until like I was like 25.
Yeah.
They showed up.
You don't question it.
Yeah. Like, my mom bought one. And like, then when I started selling the furniture, I realized that like old people all knew they needed a good mattress. So they would buy expensive mattresses for themselves, but they also never bought expensive mattresses for their kids. And I never got that justification because it was like, yo, my bones hurt. Let me get this $3,000 mattress for me. Nah, fuck that little kid. Give him a $200 mattress. And I'm like, you ever think that maybe your bones hurt because your parents gave you a $200 mattress for the first 20 years of your life? Maybe we should get ahead of this.
But the kids don't appreciate it.
But
they're young. They're able to bounce back. It really is. I once dated a dude, and the first time I sat on his bed, I fell asleep.
Okay.
And I was like, what is this? Why? What happened? And his parents got him a really good mattress. And he was like college age, right?
Okay.
And so I was just like, this is wild. I think I want to live like this. But it still was some time before I was able to get like a nice expensive mattress. And I got one, most comfortable bed I've ever had.
Yeah.
It is, the mattress itself is still in storage in Atlanta because I can't figure out, because it's just me and I can't figure out a way to bring it. Some stuff from Atlanta back up,
yeah,
you know. And so I'm just like, well, when I moved to New York, I was just like, I guess we're doing this just kind of like piecemeal style. However we put things together, we put things together.
Right.
So because I didn't know what my living situation would be and all that kind of shit. So this is just a bed that was in the room that I was renting. And then who I was renting from or subletting from, they got a new bed, so they gave me their old bed. And now that's what this is.
Yeah, it's time.
And so I've been on it for too long. I don't know how long they were on it. And they were young, so they weren't getting good beds.
Right.
Who knows where they got it from? So my body is like, bitch, remember a few years ago when we were like, you're never doing this again? Okay, well, I'm just going to make your back hurt so that you really remember. And I was like, that's fair. So
yo,
I got, you know, some nice mattress, I hope.
That shit is real.
But also in that time, since the last time I bought a mattress, they're putting mattresses in boxes. And so now I'm like, well, I don't trust any of this shit.
See, I got,
ain't no springs in this bitch. So, you know.
So foamed out, shot. I begin.
Yeah.
I know way too much about buying mattresses. So like random comedians hit me up about it. They'll be like, hey, yo, gas store. I know you don't know me that much, but I heard from this dude that you helped him with a mattress and his sets have never been better. You know, it's like wild connections. Like, yo, can you help me make a purchase? So like, I'm like some weird liaison to the comedy community, strictly for mattresses. I became a believer like my third year at selling furniture because I saw this couple, they were like in their 60s and they were like, yo, we went away to our son's house and we stayed in his guest room. And, you know, their son was doing pretty well. So he had a dope mattress in the guest room that we sold. And they were like, yo, on God, I think we were getting divorced until we went on this trip. We were there for 2 days and I started seeing my wife as a new person. And she's like, wow. he looked the best he's ever looked to me. And I couldn't tell the difference. And they were feeling good. They were rejuvenated. And then we extended the trip. We stayed there a whole week. It was great.
Wow.
We go back home, two nights in, we already fighting again. We couldn't figure out the difference. It's in the same freaking city. We literally just stayed in their place. We couldn't figure out what the difference is. Then we thought about it. It was the rest we was getting on that mattress. So they went, yo, it was the easiest sale I ever did in my life. Like the lady and the man came in, they walked in. They're like, listen, you don't got to talk to us. You don't got to sell us shit. That's the most expensive mattress. This is the name of it. We slept on it already. I want that. Whatever it's worth, give me that. Everything you need to protect it, give me all of those things because I want that every night. And he was so adamant about it that I was like, why are you so sure? And he told me that story. So, yeah, I became a believer right away.
I
do all that
honestly,
shit.
My goal in life is to become like rich. Like expensive mattress rich.
Yeah. It's yo, shy. When you sleep on you know now, but like, man, when you lay on a fire mattress, it's game changing.
It really is. It really is. And now I'm just trying to make sure that I am actually into the kind of mattress that I'm into. I like a soft mattress,
yeah.
But there needs to be some sort of firmness underneath, my body is telling me.
Yeah.
But like the mattress that is in storage is like a fucking cloud. It was so good that when I moved up here, my mother was like, we're getting your mattress to go in our guest room. And I was like, but don't you already have a bed in there? She was like, we're taking your mattress.
What?
To go. She hadn't even been on the mattress.
Yo, that take nerve.
Been on the mattress. She was just like, we're taking it. And I was like, all right, fine. I was like, y'all never have company. And anytime I came to visit, I just got reacquainted with my mattress again. I was like, I can't wait to bring you back up north, sweetie. She's still waiting.
Yo,
you know,
it was the mattress and the bed in my room is the only decisions I consistently made on my own that Gabby was initially like, what the fuck? And then thanked me for instantly. I don't make any decisions about furniture in the house. Like, I let her pick. It's her style. I don't care about the colors, painting. You happy? Cool. That's what we getting.
Right.
But then I became a furniture dude, and I was like, yo, like, I kind of know what I'm doing here, but again, you want to pick the style? Go nuts. I don't care. You know? But the mattress thing, one day, like, you know, I had the discount, and they had the sale on a fire mattress, so I just bought it. It showed up. I was going to surprise her. I was going to switch it out without her even knowing, just let her sleep on it and ask weird questions like, yo, why does this feel better? But she came in. She saw it happen, you know? So I had to tell her. So she's like, what's going on? Like, yo, you know, the other mattress was trash. This is the fire shit. And she was like, yo, you can't be making mattress decisions without me. I was like, I agree in principle. I'm not denying that. You just got to know that I'm the man at this right now. I know this. Trust me. You gonna love it. And she was like angry while yelling and laying down. And like her yelling energy was just going away because she couldn't fight it. She's like, this is amazing. I was like, I know. Like, you can't fight me. I know what I'm doing. This is awesome. You know? Oh my and then God. I had pillow options, shots. Like, y'all got these pillows. They help cool. It was over. She had no choice. Then 2 years ago, I doubled down on that. Right. So what I did is I switched the foundation to a power base. So she was like, what's this power base thing? We ain't never going to use this. I was like, you're right. Maybe we only use it once a year. Maybe we only use it twice a year. But when you use it, you will be happy. She's like, what are you talking about? Trust me. I had her lay down and I showed her what it could do. And she was like, I won't play with these buttons, whatever. I was like, all right, cool. Forget about it. I waited until Thursday because I know by Thursday, everything hurts on her from working. And I said, hey, let me show you those things again. I had her lay down on the mattress. I lifted her feet up, lifted her back. And I've been doing it with so many customers that like I know when to stop because they all make the same sound. They go, oh, I'm like, I know. That's the sound of happiness that you should feel every day when you lay down on your bed. So I did that. And then it has like the cheap motel thing where you used to put quarters in the shakes.
Yes.
It got that shit. It got that. It can shake. It does all that, you know, and it has three different shake patterns. It could do different rhythms. It could do shake only your feet, shake only your upper body.
Wow.
Yeah, it's real, you know, and it has a timer and it has outlets. So like you could plug in your USB ports and plugs. I'm like, yo, it's a game changer, honey. Like you could fight it all you want. And maybe you don't use it every day. I'm not denying that. Maybe you don't want to lift up your leg every day. You know, whatever. But when you got tension, right, your back hurt, you're gonna be thankful. You know, you don't even need to tell me. You could, you know, say it begrudgingly under your breath and face the other wall that night. But I know I did the right thing as a man for this house. You know, and she's accepted it. It's a game changer. And I know I'm right because while she never gives me credit, like, her friends have asked me about it afterward, which tells me she's talking about it.
So that means she's been talking about it.
Yeah, that's how I knew I was good. Like, she was like, yo, I heard you got Gabby the power, but like, yeah, I know. Tell people.
Oh, wow. That is really a testament to trust.
Oh, man. Let's get into the news.
All right.
Kanye West, $1 million Yeezys, maybe the world's most expensive sneaker. That's right. The first Yeezys sneakers ever worn in public by Kanye West are going on sale for over $1 million. The Nike Air Yeezy 1 prototypes, which the rapper debuted at the 50th annual Grammy Awards in 2008, will be among the most expensive sneakers ever to appear on the market. According to the South Bay's auction house, which is organizing the sale. While there is no known record for private sneaker sales, a seven-figure price tag would far exceed the current auction record of $615,000 set at Christie's in May 2020 by a pair of autographed Nike Air Jordan 1s worn by Michael Jordan in 1985. Soft Bay did not reveal an exact asking price, though it said it was valued in excess of $1 million. Okay. Yeah. Put on the market by the sneaker collector Ryan Cheng. The prototype Yeezys come in a size 12 West shoe size, according to Bram Watcher, Soft Bay's head of streetwear and modern collectibles. The valuation derives from the brand's cultural impact. Yo, he ain't making it happen. Now, this is why he should be president, man. He knows.
Man, if you don't shut up, he just wore them shoes. All this man did is wear these shoes.
Hey, he raised these $215 sneakers. They turned into $1 million sneakers. That's the power.
No, time turned them into $1 million sneaker.
I feel like you ain't on board with this presidency.
He's out there building weird fucking protozoa for your feet, but time is what made this become worth $1 million.
Hey, man, whatever it was yay. You know what I mean?
I mean, it's a perfectly fine I don't know, sneaker. You know, it's, you know, it's got a little strappy on the main part, and the top part of it looks a little curvy.
Yeah. These are the last ones I liked. I have to say, I feel like, you know, I'm not a Yeezy guy personally. I feel like after they just kept getting weirder. Like, these still look like sneakers to me.
Yeah, yeah. These are definite, because they were prototypes, so they were early.
Yeah.
And then at some point, you know, they started looking like sweaters.
Yeah.
And that's mostly what I think of when I think of a Yeezy. To me, it's the ones that look like sweaters.
Yeah, it's weird. There's one that looks to me like building insulation. Like, oh, this keeps the apartment warm if you put this between the brick and the and the paint. Like, I don't know. I feel like he just picks really weird materials.
I think so. And I mean, it's wild because, like, this shoe, this particular one, this prototype, though a perfectly fine shoe, is not necessarily doing anything new to change what was happening with sneakers. But those fucking sweater ones, which I think it's called fly knit or something, I don't know, but I call them fucking cable knit sweater sneakers. It changed for everything. Every shoe, every sneaker had to have a version that looked like it was made out of sweaters.
Amen.
Like, Skechers had sweater sneakers. Saucony had a couple of pair that were kind of sweater-like material in blue and in pink.
Right.
And I was just like, oh, wow, that's my brand. They don't have to do that. That's not... They don't need to make sweater sneakers.
I'm already
Nobody
here.
Nobody needs a knit sneaker. So, I mean, I will never say that he's not influential in changing how, you know, the course of sneakers.
There you go.
But these are just a nice kind of, you know, throwbacky hard leather sneaker.
Yeah, I legit like these. These look cool.
But you're not going to wear them. They're worth $1 million.
Yeah, that's fair. That would be the ultimate flex, though. If you could buy these to wear, like, yeah.
I mean, when you buy them, I guess you can do whatever you want with them. Hold on. Are they creased? Let me see. Also, I didn't know about the whole creasing. Look, when I wear my sneakers, I wear my sneakers, right?
Yeah, I'm with you.
And so I'm not worried about creasing them or making them look worn. If anything, I want them to look a little worn because too much white on the sneaker bothers me. So a too clean sneaker sometimes just like yikes, unless it's an all white sneaker, and then that already kind of bothers me a little. I'm not big on an all white sneaker, but I get it.
So I
didn't really know about the whole not creasing a shoe and walking a certain way so that you don't, and it seemed like kind of wild. But I also usually, the sneakers I get again are Saucony, and they're the Saucony Jazz, and those usually aren't in a hard leather.
Right.
They're in like suede and then nylon or something like that. So they're running shoes. So they're meant to be, you know, I'm not fucking anything up by bending my foot.
Right. No, that's fair. I mean,
but I did get a pair that were hard leather and I was like, uh-oh, now what?
I mean, I love sneakers in general. But I'm a person that believes they're to be worn. Like, that's what they're for. So
yeah.
I have no problem with a sneaker getting used over time and then you deciding you no longer want to wear it. But I feel like sneakers should be rocked. Why am I buying a sneaker to not wear it?
Thank you.
You know, like, as is, like, I already had to, like, learn how to walk with a bop and a limp because of my era. I got to wear clothes as baggy. You know, like, I'm pulling up my pants all the time. To this day, just because I don't know how to wear belts anymore because of this. And now you want me to also not bend my toes so that my sneakers.
I mean, it really is just a generation of just dudes shuffling. Just old man shuffling.
I can't do it. I don't know. And just also, like, I have this philosophy of, like, the best era of footwear, like, stylistically, should also kind of give you a level of, like, I might rob you, you know? So, like, I don't know. It's just, it's something I like about a shoe. Like, Timberlands and, like, black Air Force Ones are the epitome of that to me. Like, if you see see somebody in those, there's a level of like, oh, what's he up to? And that's why I wear them. I want you to feel a little bit of like, oh, he might get away with this because everybody got those. And
if I'm so in like weird
$1 million Yeezys, that's a real unique footprint. You know, like if I do something.
That is, but I will say to the listeners, it is a mostly black shoe.
Yeah, fair. Fair.
The swoosh on it is just, it's like a little tan, but not, it also could just look like a little bit of dirt on the black shoe. And then with like a kind of a gum looking sole.
Nah, I rock with these. I'm sold on
it. So you still can look like you might rob someone in them.
You know what? You sold me on these. I'm putting up the house. I'm getting these $1 million Yeezys. Me and the kids are moving. Into
yeah,
the
most stylish thief. That's who you look like.
Oh, man. Byron Bay. Hot Instagrammers are moving to Byron Bay for a Netflix show, and it's sparking a protest. That's right. Thousands of locals in the famed Australian beach town of Byron Bay have signed a petition against a planned Netflix docu-soap opera that is set in the area. The streaming company announced the plans to film a series called Byron Bays. In a press release April 7th, that more than 6,700 signatures have been received since Monday. Byron Bays is the perfect setting for our next Australian Netflix original, which will allow hot Instagrammers living their best life.
No one want that shit. Look, I know Australia dealt with this pandemic better than most.
Right.
And I'm sure that is why Netflix, I don't know if this is Netflix American or only Netflix Australian or what the deal is, but I'm sure that's why they want the production in Australia.
Yeah.
So that they can, you know, fucking run the streets, whatever. But like the Australia's government has been very hardcore.
Right.
So like you still are going to have to include that in it. Because you may be shooting episodes of something where one or two of your characters are just gone for 2 weeks because Australia don't play. You know what I mean? So there's that. But also, we've been locked down, right? We're seeing some semblance of an idea, like the inkling of an idea of a little bit of freedom is where we are right now.
Yeah, yeah.
Not full on freedom, but it's, you can smell it very far away. Like as if you lived about a half a mile from a bakery, a commercial bakery, so, you know, it's out there.
I can smell the fresh rolls in the morning.
Exactly.
Okay.
No one has time anymore to watch your little folks. I mean, people always have time to watch, I guess, young people cavorting in the sand. But for the most part, I think even the quietest of us are still trying to be out in the street.
Word.
So no one at this point, I'm like, you're shoving it in our faces. I don't care. I'm tired of Instagram. You know what I mean? Like we're exhausted.
Yeah.
And I think it's time. Everyone wants to have their own experiences.
They do.
You know?
They're allowed.
Does that make sense?
They're allowed.
So I'm not saying that nobody would watch it, but I am saying ain't no one trying to see that shit.
I feel like there's an opportunity for like, my issue is the base part. Like just do a show with regular people. Like they should be like Jersey Joe's, you know, and just do a show with just like regular ass people.
Jersey Joe,
yo, just do some regular ass people. Like, yo, this dude. Like, here's Mike. He eats pork rinds, and he, you know what I mean? Like, he's a volunteer firefighter because his father did it once, and he wants to live through him. But during the rest of the week, you know, he makes $50,000 a year as an assistant warehouse manager. You know, Jersey Joe's tells
the story. Jersey Joe's. I think people are just, they're probably just tired of it.
Hey, man. I'm just trying to shine light on regular
people. And also,
people.
I think people might want to see just more normal folk.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, I want to see just a regular dude. Like, I want to see his document. I want to see how Mark does in Jersey, you know?
I'm definitely tired of seeing what I consider the Instagram face.
Yeah.
The whatever Instagram and their ilk have decided the face of beauty is, and everyone is doing their best to look like that, I'm tired of that face.
It's not real.
So I don't want to see like five versions of it trying to live their life, you know, on a beach. If I wanted that, I would subscribe. I'd follow you on Instagram.
Right.
I don't want that. Just give us something else. There are so many other things you could give us.
I'm telling you.
Also, yeah, just cut it out. Australia, don't let them do it, Australia.
Yeah, we need something
and
different.
And most importantly, they want to call it Byron Bays, and I think you heard me boo because the spelling is B-A-E-S. Fucking just launch a grenade in that. Just torch that whole idea. That's a terrible idea.
Yo, real
talk. It's the laziest idea. No one is actively using Bays like that anymore. It's like, honestly, it's about 8 years too late.
Yeah, it's got to go. It's really terrible.
You can't. Yeah, no one's doing that.
Look, I'm going to put this out there because I don't have the means to make it happen. But real shit, there should be a reality show on Dominican minor league baseball players.
There absolutely should be.
I want to see those dudes. You already showed me, like, you know, like the equivalent of like Last Chance U, dope. I get to see football and basketball players at junior college level in America. I want to see some Latin players. Show me like the La Serie del Caribe or something, you know, where they're playing baseball in another country in the hopes of coming here. Look at that. Regular people, dreams of more, different cultures, different country. You still get beaches if you want. They're still in great shape, but guess what? They don't look like Instagram models. They're in great shape because
that is for sure.
It's part of the
job.
And
I mean, yes, it is for the world's most boring sport. But
fair. But with the Netflix cameras, they look fire.
They're at least doing something, and it's more exciting than just sitting on the beach and making this noise the whole time.
I mean, listen, it's a slow and boring sport. I'm not denying it. I enjoy it. But guess what? That just means you got more time to interview people. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's perfectly built in for it. You could do two for ones. Every other sport, you got to do the interview scene after the game. You could do it right there in the middle of it. That dude could be, every time he's not batting, he's free for an interview. Literally, he's just chilling, waiting for you.
I mean, that seems like you're now fucking with the game, but yeah. Technically, yes, you could interview him. Now, is he trying to keep his head in the game? I guess the audience will make that call.
Oh, man. Tyrannosaurus rex walks surprisingly slow, according to a new study. That's right. The fearsome predator that the Tyrannosaurus rex wasn't particularly fast. In fact, most humans could easily keep up with the dinosaur without breaking a sweat. A T-Rex would have covered just under 3 miles in an hour, a speed similar to what humans and many other animals reach at its preferred walking speed. However, this pace is slower than estimates of the tyrant lizard king's walking pace. When they have no reason to run, like most animals, including humans, they have a natural walking speed that minimizes the amount of body energy spent. Early estimates had not taken fully into account the role of the T-Rex tail, which makes up more than half of its length when crunching the numbers. So the animals tend to prefer walking speeds at which, for a given distance, energy cost is minimal. They do this choosing specific step rhythms at which their body parts resonate. Since the entire tail of the T-Rex is suspended by ligaments, which behave like rubber bands, we reconstructed this tail to investigate at which step rhythm the tail of the T-Rex would resonate. Yo, shots to people doing this shit right here, B-Date.
No, this is insane. That's what are we doing? We're building T-Rex tails out of rubber bands to see how far it walked. Why did we think it moved fast? That's Why do we think it moved fast?
I just think people saw, just because of the, like, his size, right? Like, he has a wide gait. You would assume he would be making moves.
No, but it's like a tractor trailer.
True. I could see that.
You know, like when that thing took corners.
I misjudged it. I thought he was fast because I saw the, like a basketball player. He got like high calves. You know what I'm saying?
Also, this article that we're reading it from, it's a CNN article, and there's this loop, this video of a loop of what an animation of what a T-Rex would look like. And first it's coming at you head on.
Yeah.
And then it turns to the side. So you can see it's itty, itty, itty bitty little arms.
Yeah.
So, and at the speed that they think it probably moved, which is kind of slow, but also makes sense because it's a lot of shit it's carrying.
Yeah, no, I get it.
It's got that tail. It's very, I mean, you know, it's kind of, there's a lot going on in the midsection. And like you said, it does have high calf. But, you know, I mean, the thighs are up there. I don't know. It just doesn't seem, maybe when it got to a kind of a gallop, it moved kind of quickly, but not like all the time.
Yeah, it said that when it needed to, its running ability suggests that it could have reached speeds between 12 and 18 miles per hour. Any faster and the bones may have shattered. So even though that's fast, that there, I mean, we got people that clearly can move faster than that, right? Like, you know, sprinters, they do almost 30 miles an hour at their top speed. Like, you know, mind you, it's only for like 10 seconds, but
right, yeah,
we definitely buck it more than that.
I guess. I don't know why we would think that. I mean, all right, I'm just going to put this out here. I've not seen any of the Jurassic Park / World movies.
Oh, man.
Just go ahead and attack me in whatever. It's fine. There are so many movies I haven't seen. All that shit, I can swat it away. I don't care. I probably won't either because I truly don't care. But, like, how fast did the T-Rex move in that? And I think that's what a lot of people are basing it on. I think those moved kind of quickly. And I don't think they really moved that quickly. Kind of like how when they sped up zombies a few years ago. Oh,
okay.
Like zombies now move very fast in the movies, but they used to just kind of drag themselves, which made sense because they were mostly dead.
Right. Yeah, that was accurate.
Yeah. So for them to move quickly is weird because I feel like they would need to have a blood source in order for them to get to their limbs and move like that. But they don't because they're mostly dead. But who am I to quibble with, you know, zombies?
Yeah.
But yeah, I think we all are thinking of a Jurassic Park T-Rex and not an actual T-Rex.
That's a T-Rex on HGH, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that's not that's not regular.
That's not at all. You're thinking of, you know, a T-Rex on a treadmill or in training or something.
Yeah, he's in his prime of his life. You know, that's different.
Regular young old T-Rex college
ain't
age.
Built like that. You know what I mean? Yeah. Dude got a mortgage. He got stuff going on. He got time to hit the gym no more, you know?
Right. It happens to the best of us.
Oh, man. Finally, sleeping less than 6 hours a night in midlife raises the risk of dementia by 30%, Sha.
Oh, no.
If you're trying to get by on about 6 hours or less of sleep a night during the work week, you're setting up your brain for future failure, according to a new study published on Tuesday by the Journal of Nature Communications. After following nearly 8,000 people for 25 years, the study found a higher dementia risk with sleep durations of 6 hours or less at the age of 50 and 60 as compared to those who slept 7 hours a night. In addition, persistent short sleep duration between the ages of 50, 60, and 70 was also associated with a 30% increase in dementia, independent of socio-demographic, behavioral, cardio, metabolic, and mental health factors, including...
Wow, I love that. You felt like you needed to get through all of that.
Yo, every now and then I get inspired. Like, yo, Sha, I struggle with big words, but like, today felt like, yo, I got a big word day in me, you know? And I was nailing it, you know? So I've been in the flow of it, like, yo, I got this one, you know? And I want to try to say I believed in myself. And it happened, you know?
I'm very impressed because I'm not sure I could have gotten
hey,
it.
Hey, the audience have heard me stumble on various words over these episodes, so I'm proud to have a few of them go my way. You know, I'm just shooting here. I didn't know it was gonna work, but yeah, this is wild. Like, just because while I do think that overall I average like 7 hours, I def know that I don't do that like consistently. Like, my sleep is varied, so this was eye opening to me. Just because, like, I feel like what I do is I talk and tell stories to people all day, whether like on stage or just in life. So I don't want to get to a point to where like I forget the stories or I forget that I told them the story. Like, and that's all things that like I felt like this is telling me is gonna happen. Like, oh, get some sleep, or you're just gonna be that dude that repeats yourself a lot to your grandkids, you know?
Yeah, that's true. I mean, you're already going to end up being that to some extent. Like, that just happens. I want everyone to know that if I repeat a story, please stop me and go, yeah, you did mention that to me. And I'll go, okay, great.
Right.
No harm, no foul. Please stop me before I get too far into it and you're fake smiling. I don't want that. Don't do that. Just stop me. But this is why I ordered that damn bed.
That's it. We're going to fix it up, Sha.
I'm trying to sleep.
All comes full circle. You know what I mean?
It really does. We now have the cat comfortable with our doors being closed at night so that she doesn't just come in and fuck up shit while we're sleeping.
Okay.
You know, we're working that out. I'm really trying to, like, okay, this has been a year of chaos and we're going to try to move away from that. So now that we're training the cat, I'm like, great. Now let me get a bed that I feel comfortable on. And now I want to sleep again.
Hey, progress is progress.
There's so many sleeps that I've missed.
It all counts. I'm excited. The Shy's going to begin some good rest. I'm gonna make a purchase, upgrade my mattress on, you know, my power base. Y'all should look into that too. If you want to learn how to do that, you know, you can DM us along with articles you want us to cover. You know, at Silky Jumbo, at Gastro Almonte. If you want to sleep better in general, you know what you could do is give us 5 stars on Apple Podcast ratings. You know what I mean? Please like and subscribe.
That definitely helps.
Please like and subscribe to the show. With all that said, really appreciate listening and that y'all are listening. My name is Gastro Almonte. Always with the homie Shalay was Sharp. It's been a bonus episode of the War Report. Catch y'all next week. Peace. Lights to the dark. Gun smoke fills your nose. But the violence starts once the guns go cold. To the dark, gun smoke fills your nose, but the violence starts once the guns go cold. A prayer in the dark, Lord, let me grow old, 'cause the block gets hard once the guns go cold. Catch y'all next week. Peace.